Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome to the RAND CRE Show, commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Tarvella. And today I have the man, the myth, the legend, Tim Kelly. Tim is the VP of Education for Active Duty Passive Income, which is serving a lot of active and military members and helping them achieve financial freedom through passive investing. Best-selling author to the book Military House Hacking, 15 years of service. So thank you, Tim, for your service. And started investing in 2011 with a single family. And last I checked, he said 1,200 units, but it sounds like before the calls, maybe even more. Tim, is that still right on the 1,200 units, or did it grow overnight?
No, it didn't grow overnight, man. I'm right around. He's still about that same point. I've helped close that many deals. Don't have like ownership in a lot of those, and a lot of those are not. I'm not going to say I have those assets under management. A lot of them was just on the acquisition side where I helped them close. But yeah, that's pretty much on point since I first got started, man.
That's awesome. Well, I think first off, thank you for your service on both sides of the Navy, but also your mission and just helping active duty passive income. How did that get started? I mean, what was like the mission or the trigger point that made you really want to help serve your military comrades?
Yeah, man. So I was on the Bigger Pockets podcast had me on in like 2018, like early 2018. And then I was just sharing my story, you know, how I was getting into large multifamily while still active duty. And the founder and the co-founder of Active Duty Passive Income heard me on the podcast. So I was not the founder or co-founder. And they had just had it started, and it was just this extremely very small startup. It was just, they had a course, they had a small Facebook group, and they had a podcast. And so they called me, I gave up my cell phone number on the Bigger Pockets podcast. And they, Eric Upchurch, co-founder of the community, he gave me a call. And ever since then, he shared with me what he was doing. And I always had a passion for just helping educate other military members. Even when I was before, you know, into real estate, I was just helping other military members understand personal finance and building wealth, and just because it, you know, doesn't exist in our society or especially in the military. So he told me about the community, and I, you know, from that day, I'm like, I want to help you guys. This is amazing. They were looking for people who are focusing on multifamily commercial. So won't say I'm a co-founder or founder of it, but I heard about it. Now I'm co-owner, and you know,
you're doing it, right? You're serving. So that's close enough.
While still active duty, man, got it started, and it definitely exploded from them, and it's got all kinds of other markets that we're in at this point. But yeah, man, it's kind of from the very beginning how it all started. And that's, you know, Adam Labar came on just before I did. So him and I kind of tag teamed the commercial and multifamily aspect and put together the academy and the mastermind where we're teaching other members how to do that.
It's funny. This is I feel like one of the very few times where it's a good story where people put their phone number on the internet and good stuff happens.
Yeah, man. It's funny, man. I got a lot of funny looks and like, man, I can't believe, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of people listen to the podcast. I'm like, you know what? I didn't have any concern doing that. And it's funny because the result, the people who actually reached out to me were the people who wanted to give me their money and invest in my deals or wanted to get coaching from me, because I'm also a certified high performance coach. And, you know, I coach people one-on-one about this stuff. And so people reached out to me because they wanted me to coach them or they wanted to give me their money. So it was very much a it worked out well for me giving out my cell phone number, man. Not a whole lot of spam.
I mean, you're just energy is infectious and just helping people. And I'm sure that episode you were seeking to serve, and good thing always comes back. So yeah, that's amazing. So how you started with a single family, you mentioned Adam Labar leading the multifamily commercial side of things. So how did it go from one house to the commercial? Was it scale? Was it just impact? What led you kind of scale that piece?
Yeah, I mean, 2011 was, I just used my VA loan, was active duty, you know, and I purchased a single family home because I just wanted a single family home. And then I'm like, hey, I'm going to get something that needs a little bit of rehab. And I kind of did a live and flip. Then it ended up being my first, the first house hack. It had two master bedrooms, one on top floor, one on the lower floor. So I house hacked that thing with my VA loan before I even knew what house hacking was. And then I went on a deployment in 2014. And that's when I kind of started reading all about personal finance. And I kept seeing a trend of real estate. So then I got off that deployment. 2015 is when I really dove into all things education, learned all the different ways people kind of create wealth and build income and passive income in real estate. Then it just didn't make sense to me, like, to do single family or wholesaling or flipping or anything like that. So I literally just started focusing solely on commercial and multifamily. So I kind of went straight into that for education and mentorship and, you know, dove into all that. And I went really vertical. At first I went horizontal across all the different ways you could kind of make money, build wealth. And I saw multifamily, heard about it, went vertical. That made the most sense to me. While I was doing that, I was still doing like small multifamily, got a fourplex, got a triplex, and, you know, and I still have a really special place in my heart for small multifamily because of house hacking and the leverage you can get on those deals. But yeah, I mean, I kind of just saw it and didn't let anything stop me. I'm like, I just want to go straight to the large multifamily. It just made the most sense after reading a lot and talking to people and networking with people. So I kind of just focused solely on commercial and multifamily. Didn't really bother looking too much into, like, you know, single family wholesaling or anything like that.
Yeah. And I think it's a super important, you kind of just mentioned the dichotomy of it, because I think in the market right now, a lot of big players are just scooping those larger ones. And so you still, like you said, I still have a place in my heart for the smaller multifamily, because it, when a lot of people think of their home, they think it's like their number one investment, but that's like the Kiyosaki switch of, right, well, it's not cash flowing and it's the trap. So absolutely, you're just helping people with your active duty passive income. You're like, well, you can live in one, rent out the three, you're done. You could be pretty much set for not necessarily life, but large portion of your biggest line item of an expense is gone.
Absolutely.
And plus you're thinking bigger too, because then the four unit turns, it's momentum all the way through. So it's cool to see that even though you scaled to 1200 units, those still smaller ones, still sneaking in.
Yeah, man. Yep.
What was the biggest draw, you know, just talking to people, what was the biggest frame shift or just in general that drew you to the multifamily side comparative to the different asset classes and everything else?
Yeah. I mean, it just made more sense, to me from a scalability. You know, I just wasn't as patient. I was just thinking, hey man, I can get, how many deals will it really take me? And I kept seeing, you know, a single family, it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort. You can't really leverage other people. You got to figure out if you're going to manage, if you're going to self-manage, and it's like a couple hundred bucks a door or something. Cash flow is what people are shooting for. I'm like, man, how many deals you got to do, you know, in order to really hit a financial freedom number? And, you know, at that point I was looking to separate from the military, and I just didn't absolutely love what I did. And I just wanted to create more freedom and more abundance. And, it just made more sense to me to be able to, you know, have a small percentage of ownership in a very large deal with a lot more scalability versus 100% ownership in some single family homes, you know? And you know, I'm glad I made the switch. It's just a matter of learning. It's not one thing is better than the other, because people have gotten very successful with single family investing and created a very lucrative business around that model. But for me, it just made more sense at the time. And I kind of just dove right in and went straight to the larger stuff.
Yeah. I think leverage is the one term, because I know I did two single families and I can't fix anything. And even my maintenance for our in property management team's like, we'll have you fix stuff. I go, don't even bother, because it was such a waste of time for you to teach me, because I'm just going to call you anyways. So, and I think realizing that you're just buying jobs at $100 a month is terrible. So it's cool, man, to see just the leverage piece moving forward, because what is your highest and best use of time? Like, that's always like, I just hired my first VA, and you have to ask yourself that every single day to trap yourself. So,
separating those tasks between what are transactional and what are transformational. That's up to you. Whatever you think, whatever brings, whatever your time invested brings the most value back to you and the highest income producing tasks, you know, that's what we should all be focusing our time on. And making that bridge is not, you know, filling that gap is not easy. It takes some time, but you know, hiring an assistant for the transactional tasks will free up so you can continue to scale and grow your business. And to me, it's creating the relationships and following up with, and you know, investors and following up with brokers and finding the right partners. It's all about people and all about relationships. That's how I like spending my time, man. Creating those relationships, not doing kind of like bookkeeping or the transactional invoicing and stuff like that. Yeah. That's a great point, man.
Yeah. No, I was 5 years of an active CPA and I didn't have the personality to stick around for it for very long. So it took me 5 years to get out of there.
Not for me, man. Heck no.
But the thing was, I always thought I was the problem. I was like, oh, I'm in the wrong circle. I have all the skill sets, but I just got to get out. And now here we are doing a podcast talking about how to not do numbers.
That's right.
So Tim, it sounds like involved into capital raising and acquisitions. What did that transformation look like? Even mindset, especially like still active duty, education side, like obviously you're doing a lot of different things. How did that kind of bridge into your end up being your highest and best use of time?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. And like the goal is and how to really achieve success and get into your first deal, if you're looking to get in your first deal or even your next few, is figure out what your strengths are and all the roles and responsibilities that have to be fulfilled in a deal, whether it's a syndication or a joint venture, really how to close and operate a multifamily deal. And you really won't know that. You can only learn so much from education and from mentorship until you go through the process, right? And so as I continued to go through some deals, I really learned and dialed into what I brought to the table most, right? And that was on the acquisition side. I learned I didn't have, you know, this infatuation for underwriting and numbers or asset management, you know? So I did everything on the acquisition side with the exception of underwriting and with the exception of asset management, right? So that's where I kind of realized that getting the deal flow, connecting with brokers, raising the capital, helping with due diligence and getting the deal to the closing table was where I was, you know, the strongest. And it took a couple of deals to figure that out. And that's one thing. The quicker you could dial that in, the quicker you'll be able to determine how you could add value. And that's really exactly as quick as you could do that is as fast as you could build partnerships. Cause that is how you build those partnerships and find partners, is be able to find people who have the same goals and then be able to clearly explain what you bring to the table. Right. And then what you're looking for, what are the pieces of the puzzle you're looking for? So it's really figuring out what that puzzle looks like, that deal, and then honing in to what your strengths are. And that's where I discovered, you know, acquisitions and raising capital and stuff like that was where I had the most fun and I brought the most amount of value.
Yeah. I think you brought up a very good point of begin with the end in mind of making sure your partners are aligned with the same vision as you are, because there's so many partnerships that are like, I just want to make X dollars. But they don't realize, am I selling it in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? Do I need the money tomorrow? Like, what are your core values first? And then figuring out who are my, like, think of it as like the dream team. You know, is Michael Jordan posting up the center? No, he's doing what he needs to do to be the best serving. And that's your highest and best use. And it can evolve over time. Like mine was underwriting. And then eventually it's like getting out there and asset managing. Now it's acquisition. So it can evolve over time, but your core values is what roots you, your team, and everything forward. And plus you just don't want to deal with people, shitty people. So just making sure that's a very critical piece. I just wanted to hammer in on.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't know until you kind of just figure out as much as you can about a person and about, just get to know them as a human and their ethical beliefs and their moral beliefs, and what they like to do for fun and their family, their spirituality, before you could dive into a partnership with them. But sometimes until you go through that partnership, until you do a deal or two with them, you don't really know, you know, what kind of partner they are. I remember at first I was thinking, oh, you know, these partnerships, I was kind of worried because of like, is this the right partner? It's got to be for life. You know, we're going to be in the same partnership forever. And, you know, I wish I didn't have that mindset, because, you know, a lot of times partnerships just don't work out, because until you realize, you know, and you go through a couple deals, and how, you know, and life happens, obviously, and a lot of changes take place too. But yeah, man, this is one thing going into commercial and being able to scale and being able to be successful is through partnerships, is through relationships, right? So super important a piece here for sure.
Yeah. And you're continuing to put yourself out there despite any partnerships changing or evolving. So human capital is like the number one influence. And I mean, I've struggled with it. That's in the sense of putting myself out there. But I think like Grant Cardone is a perfect example. We've all heard of him, good or bad, right? But he's motivated us to put ourselves out there more so we can meet more people, so we can make more impact. Love him or hate him, you got to respect the fact that we all know who he is, and for better or worse, but it just, you always have to push yourself out there, because you're that one partner, you're that one partnership away from getting into that huge deal that changes your life. And there's a couple people that, you know, when I first started in or about to leave accounting to do multifamily, people are like, who would want to do business with you? And now it's just that mindset of leaving that social circle has just evolved so much. So it's been cool to see for me, and for those listening, put yourself out there more.
It's so good, man. I remember you said Grant Cardone said something that's really resonated with me for a while. You know, it's not about what you know. It's a little bit about what you know. It's a little bit more about who you know, but it's most about who knows you, right? And you can't find those partners. You can't get that deal flow. You're not going to be able to find your investors until you get out there and you let people know who you are and what you do, right? And there's no easier way than using social media. And it's loud and it's noisy. But, you know, it's getting out there. You're still going to be in that select few of people that are doing it. Because so many of your friends and your family that you already know probably have no idea what you're doing, what you're looking for. And even if you go down, you know, your text message thread or in your phone book on your phone, if you literally just shoot a text or call, like, you know, the first 20, 30, 40, 50 people and let them know what you got going on in real estate, what you're up to and what you're looking for, I guarantee that some of those will be life-changing conversations, because doors will be opened and opportunities will be created. And most people will be like, I had no idea you were doing this. But until you get out there and create a social media, somewhat of a campaign where you're posting religiously, that's where opportunities arise, man. When people realize who you are, what you do and what you're looking for, it's that easy. Yeah. And creating that elevator pitch, man, that 15-20 second elevator pitch is absolutely crucial. I love sharing the importance of that. If you haven't dialed that in yet, man, that is a complete game changer, and it'll be.
What's your elevator pitch, Tim?
Hey, my name is Tim Kelly. My partners and I syndicate and joint venture on multifamily properties in the affordable housing spaces in markets that show a predictable path of progress. And we focus on apartment communities, mobile home communities, storage facilities, and RV parks. We are always looking for capital investors with whom we could give double-digit returns to, and we are always looking for deals. How do you want to collaborate today? Something just like that. I mean,
dude, perfect.
I've said it over and over and over, and yeah.
Yeah.
You just got to know that. Anytime anybody says, hey, well, what do? That's like some version of that. Anytime you go to like a RIA meeting or a conference or whatever, that is when you connect with people, just recite that. And you have to say it over and over until you nail it down. But it's just on the fly, you could say it, and it's smooth. And it just puts you in a position where people take you seriously just because you sound like you know what you're doing. Even if you don't have any deals, if you have an elevator pitch that sounds like that, people are going to assume you're serious and you know what you're doing, that you have experience, even if you don't, you know, just because you took the time to create that elevator pitch, man. Highly recommend doing that if you don't have that.
Yeah, you're putting it out into the world, because my 6 months of education, I wrote, I'm going to buy a $10 million deal. I was living in Chicago, working as a CPA, got the call to work for Jake and Gino. And the first week we got a $9.75 million LOI signed. So
amazing.
I didn't expect to leave Chicago. I didn't expect to get out of accounting, but or live in Knoxville. But here we are. And it's just,
yeah.
If you keep that's putting amazing, it out there.
Man. Were you in the city of Chicago? Or where at in Chicago?
Yeah, I was in Andersonville. So 30 minutes north, just north of Wrigleyville.
I grew up right outside the city, man. That's where all my family's at. I was there for Christmas and stuff too. So I love Chicago, man. It's my favorite city.
I love it, but my last winter was like the -60. So I was like, I gotta go, guys.
I get it.
But no, that's awesome, Tim. And I think just keep putting it. I mean, to your point, I'm getting better at posting more frequently. I posted one quote. I had three people reach out to me. Are like, man, you're still doing that real estate thing pretty good. So I'm like,
yeah,
never know. You're one connection away. It sounds, it's your one deal a day, connection away, for at your world to change. So that's awesome.
100%, right? Dude.
100%. So Tim, you mentioned mobile home parks. What kind of, and self storage, what are your favorite things about those type of asset classes?
Yeah, man. Mobile home parks, I kind of got into shortly after I did apartment complexes. That's, you know, 2017, 2018 was sort of when cap rates on apartment complexes started noticeably going down.
Free falling to four.
Yeah. Well, they didn't get down that low. They were just going from like, you know, nines and eights and B's and C's down to like, it'd be lucky if you find like a six or seven. So then we were like, hey, you know, looking at what are the other opportunities? And that's where I'm like, well, mobile home community is something not too many people are really talking about or looking at. I think this is the right time to get into mobile home parks. And so then I just, you know, got involved in some partnerships, took down a handful of mobile home park communities and getting ready to actually exit out of one of them, going full cycle on another one. This year, probably in the next month or two, it should close. But I mean, mobile home communities is still such a solid asset. A lot of people got into it over the last couple of years because it's just, you know, number one, there's no more affordable type of housing out there than mobile homes, you know. And a lot of people, when they hear trailer parks or mobile home parks, they think, you know, it's crime, it's low income, it's bad, it's drugs, and it's not really the case. I mean, there are trailer parks out there that have
apartments that are like that too.
Of course, right? There's regular neighborhoods that are like that. So it's just got a bad stigma from media and just, you know how people are. But it's the most affordable type of housing out there, man, is in mobile home communities. And a lot of these members or a lot of these residents own their own home, and lot rent is like $300 to $400 a month on average, you know, and that's only going up. It's still the most affordable type of housing. And it's mostly just blue collar workers that are, you know, have a lower income than average that are just trying to live a good life, man, and enjoy a nice community and have a live in a community that has a great culture. And so it, you know, it's all about management. It's all about, you know, being what I call an empathetic capitalist, and not taking advantage of those, all the lot rents that are severely below market rent, and not jacking, you know, going in there, jacking the rents up over the next year, hundreds of dollars. Because a lot of those people, like a change in $20 to $30 to $50 a month is a big, significant impact to their income, you know? So, just keeping that in mind. And that, so mobile home communities, you know, a lot of people misunderstood them, and I think a lot more people are into them now. So still love looking at those. And then, you know, storage facilities is another thing that has completely just blown up over the last year or so, last couple of years, really. And they're proven metric wise, and they've delivered some of the highest returns. If you think about it, because people are downsizing, going into smaller homes, and they just don't want to get rid of their crap, right? They need a place to store their stuff. And so like storage communities are huge right now, and especially the ones that are like climate controlled in the right markets. And so, you know, and so many of them could be automated now with such a low cost of overhead and expenses, where you need one person, maybe not anybody on payroll. It's all automated. You know, they literally lock their stuff up and they disappear. Like, unless they're moving out or unless they need something here, there throughout the years, there's not toilets, there's not tenants to deal with. It's just their stuff that's sitting there. Very low expenses and very high income potential. And you could, there's a lot of ways to add income and add value to those places too, in the right markets, man. So yeah, those are all two asset class we love looking at.
Yeah. I think just, very opportunistic, because when you mentioned you getting in, it was like a really good time. And obviously cap rates have compressed on everything. And, you know, we've heard inflation enough in the last 6 months, just as much as COVID. So, I think it just being very opportunistic, and I'm sure the social capital that you developed led you to those opportunities, which has helped you make money, I would assume.
Man, it's I couldn't, you know, say that anymore. And it's really about who knows you, you know, and who's in your circle and who knows you and who knows what you're up to. People will have opportunities for you. They just, if they don't know who you are, or what you're doing, man, they can't offer you those opportunities.
Yeah. So, awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Tim, as we kind of just start unwinding down, would love to kind of hear your one investor pro tip for our listeners out there.
Man, there's a lot of,
you can do a couple. We'll let you do a couple.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many out there that I've learned along the way that I could testify that are super impactful. And, you know, one, I would say just, you know, wake up and practice gratitude every day. Cause it's all about mindset, man. It really, really is all about mindset and personal and professional growth. And you won't have that abundance growth mindset unless you wake up just being thankful and just bringing joy every single day. Figure out how you could bring more joy in your life. And that really boils down to just gratitude. And, you know, the first thing in the morning, think about all the things you're thankful for. And then, you know, another thing I love sharing is just, you know, when, and we talked about how it's all about relationships and connecting with people. And, you know, when you're fit, you hit a wall and you're like, man, how can I get to the next level? What do I need to do to either get my next deal or get my next LOI submitted? There's usually, like you said, you're one conversation away. And that conversation is what's required is to reach out and follow up and connect with somebody. Every single day, you should be connecting with at least some new person or following up with the person that you should have already followed up with. So ask yourself, who should I be connecting with today? Who should I be following up with today to get me to the next level of my business? And then pick up that phone, shoot that text, set up a phone call. Cause that one person could be the reason that will catapult you, could be that catalyst that will get you the next level. Yeah. And I'll probably just leave it at that, man.
I read the one thing this last quarter and it's resonated. So who's the one person that can make your life easier and make the rest of it, irrelevant or unnecessary?
Yeah. Exactly. So, and reach out to them. That's what it's all about. Who should I be connecting with? And maybe you need to connect with a property manager to figure out who's going to manage your asset that you're looking at, or a broker or an investor or somebody who you connected with at a conference or something that you never followed up with. Those are the best people, man. You met them face to face and hopefully you took notes and wrote down who they were and how to get a hold of them. Connect with those people every single day. And I'm telling you, your life will change.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that, because it's yeah. Every cliche of it's a relationship business. And I think that's important, is follow up, because I think people get bogged down of, oh, I shot a text and this didn't go through. Like, we're all human, right? It's been, you know, just follow up and good things will happen. So,
yeah, I really believe that your business will grow at the speed that you're able to establish relationships with people.
Yeah. Tim, if you're the one person that someone needs to reach out to, what's the best way they can reach out to you?
Yeah. I mean, I spend a lot of time in the ADPI community, the Active Duty Passive Income Facebook group. We have a huge Facebook group, so on Facebook, and then LinkedIn at the Timothy Kelly, Instagram at the Timothy Kelly. My website is thetimothykelly.com. But if anything resonates with you, or you just want to, you know, hang out and hop on a call, just shoot me a text and we will hop on a call, man. Just let me know you heard me on this podcast. You could reach me and shoot me a text at area code 847-910-9161. Just let me know you heard me, and we'll just set up a call, man. We'll chat.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, Tim, for sharing your mission. I'm really happy you posted your phone number on the internet from Bigger Pockets, because now we've got to meet each other. So
that's right.
I appreciate it, Tim. And if anyone has any questions for me, please reach out to me at MikeT@RANCRE.com. Until then, we will see you next week.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.